Morning. Good to be once again with you today through all the snow and the cold outside. Thanks for worshiping with us and joining us in this time. We get to open up God's Word and see through the book of 1 Thessalonians what Paul is encouraging the church in to stay the course. Sometimes our focus isn't on staying the course. Sometimes our focus isn't on the things that we enjoy. Sometimes our focus isn't on the blessings that God gives. Sometimes our focus is more on the negative. When we turn on the news, whether it's channels 2, 7, 9, Fox News, or CNN, usually when you turn on the news, you see something negative. You may hear about the decay of morality in our nation. You may hear about violence. You may hear about arguments. Lately, we hear about shutdowns. Maybe you hear about the tragedy of the New England Patriots winning the Super Bowl again. Time and time again, we hear about things that bring us down, that maybe put a cloud over our head. Maybe seem to be gloomy, and all these things that happen. But one of the great things about being the church, which is who Paul is writing to in this message, and the hope that we get to come and be together, the message to the church, we see in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, that part of being a church is we get to rejoice with those who rejoice. It also says to mourn with those who mourn. And if that's you today, if you're someone who needs time to just take a moment to mourn something that's been going on in life, we want to open that up to you. We want you to be able to do that. We want you to be able to talk to one of the elders or I or someone beside you that you know and that you love, and we want to have that ability for you as well. But today we want to concentrate on that part that says to rejoice with those who rejoice. So I want to take a moment. You get to preach this morning. I want to take a moment. What is some good news that you have heard this last week or in the recent weeks? What's some good news you've heard? Go ahead, shout out. Seth's surgery went well. Absolutely. Great news that a grandson has gone through and had a successful surgery. That's awesome news. We've been praying for that.
It's great ice sledding.
It's great ice sledding. Great news. Yeah. I expected that to come from over here, but good news. Yeah.
The Patriots won again.
Okay. We'll take a moment to rejoice with those who rejoice. What else? What's some good news you've heard? Yeah.
My daughter-in-law texted me a while back and said when it gets warm, she wants to be back.
Awesome. Wonderful. That is great news. That is awesome. Yeah.
There's potentially 3 or 4 more snowstorms coming. Just for the record.
Moving on. So, no, all great things that we get to rejoice with one another. Those are amazing things that we get to share, that we get to be encouraged by, that we get to allow it to put a smile on our face. And we have times to treasure those. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul says that he received good news. One that is encouraging, one that brings a smile to his face, that brightens up his heart, and something that really for each of us, we strive for, we hope for in every day. Paul received good news from Timothy, and that good news is that for a partner in Christ's mission, those he was reaching out to, those he loved, were growing and following Christ. And for us, for people all over, the best news that we could ever hear is the good news of Jesus Christ, the news of a God who loves, who came and saved us, who gave his life for us, who wants to spend eternity with us. But the best news that a partner in Christ can hear is that those that they're reaching out to, those that they are investing in, those that they've been ministering to, are growing up in love and in faith in Christ Jesus. And that's exactly the message that Paul gets from Timothy here. That for him, he's been looking for this opportunity to share with these people. He got to spend just a moment with them. And he got to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ to them. He got to plant a seed. And for Paul, he's here and now that they're growing in love and in faith in Jesus Christ. And he is ecstatic about it. He is loving this. What Paul gets from Timothy, he passes on in 1 Timothy chapter 3, or 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and it's going to start with verse 6. It says, "But Timothy has come just now to. Let me start that again. "But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live. Since you are standing firm in the Lord, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." He says first, he's encouraged in this because of their faith. He says, "I'm encouraged because of your faith." The laugh track effect is the reasoning behind why you hear this pre-recorded laughter in sitcoms and movies and all these comedies. It's called the laugh track effect. And why you hear that is because in 1974, a study was published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology that showed that people are much more likely to laugh at a joke if other people are laughing with them. Nobody wants to laugh at something all by themselves. They think it's embarrassing to think that something is funny that nobody else finds funny. And so what they started doing is they started this pre-recorded laughter behind when they would write into a script something funny or something that they wanted people to find humorous. And they build this up so that when you hear a joke, no matter really if it's funny or not, it's in the back of your mind that you start to think, "Oh, that was kind of funny. I'm going to start doing it in my sermons." But in the same way that a laugh is contagious, that they put that behind, that they encourage you to laugh, in the same way as that's contagious, faith is contagious as well. When Paul says here, "Hey, we're encouraged by your faith," I want you to know that if right now you're down in the dumps, if you're having a hard time, and you feel like all you have left to give is your faith, that can be a blessing. That can be an encouragement. And man, is it amazing that we serve a God that loves us so much that sometimes he's the only one that we have to hold on to, but just that fact that we're holding on to him is enough to give, is enough to pass on to others, is enough to show as an example. God is amazing in the way that he works that way. One of the reasons that we gather together as a church, that we come together each week, that we take this time, that we brave through the snowstorms to see one another, is because we can be encouraged by one another's faith. Proverbs tells us that a cord of three strands is not easily broken, that when we have others around us, when we have others around us that we can stand with while we're standing for Christ, man, that's a blessing. That's an encouragement. We have others to lean on. We have others to learn from. We have others just to let us know that we're not alone. And we can be encouraged in the church. And in another way, we encourage those who came before us. We encourage those that were the ones that passed down the faith to us. We are encouraged when family members send us a text saying that they are growing and that they want to put their trust in God. It's times like that where we are encouraged. We can be alongside one another. We can encourage and we can continue on through the troubles that life brings. Our faith is not built on those around us, but as we are built up in our faith, found in the perfect foundation of Jesus Christ, having others around you can provide stability where otherwise there may be stumbling. And that's an amazing thing. That's an encouraging thing. He says this. He says, we're given life by your growth. He says, now we really live. Why? Because you are standing firm in the Lord. Paul says that the thing that's getting him through the trials that he's facing, the thing that's getting him around the prison sentence, that's getting him through not knowing if he's going to live, that's getting him through being beaten, the thing that's getting him through not knowing if he'll ever see these people that he loves again, is knowing that they are standing firm in the Lord. He knows that life can be full because when he takes his last breath, when he sees Jesus on that final day, there will be those around him that are having communion with him that would have never heard the gospel, that would have never known the love of Christ otherwise. And that brings him life. That puts a smile on his face and sunshine in his heart, knowing that he had the opportunity to minister and to show Christ's love. The question is, can we say the same thing? Do we really live, or do we just glide through an existence? Do we show others the love of Christ? Do we introduce others to the life-saving truth found in Scripture? Do we lead others to know a God who cared so much for him that he gave his one and only Son so that they could have life? Do we work each day to snatch them from the lies that Satan has told this world? Jesus cared so much for this world that he was willing to die for it. Are you willing to live for it? Are you willing to live for people so that they can know the God that loves them? Are you willing to live the mission that God gave each and every one of us? It's a life-giving mission. And I pray for each of us. Each of us, that it truly is a life mission. That when we walk out the doors of this building, when we see that sign that says you are now entering a mission field, that we take that seriously. that we go introducing people to a God that cares, God that loves, God that gives life. For Paul, and my prayer is that this is true for us today, but for Paul, true life meant that he was able to be a catalyst for the gospel of Christ to a lost world. He wanted so badly to spread the good news of Jesus to the world. He went where God led. He reached out to those who were put in his path. We don't have to go around the world. We don't have to go to places that are hostile to the gospel if it isn't where God has placed it on your heart. We do have to go to those that God has put in our path. We have to grow in our faith and in our love until it bursts out of us. We strive to be followers of Christ, that when people look at us, they see Jesus in our lives. They see Jesus through our speech. They see Jesus through our actions. They see Jesus through our love. Ending this section of Scripture, we see Paul's prayer for the people that he's poured into through his son in Christ, Timothy. His prayer is threefold. First, he prays that they're able to be together. Paul longs to be with the church. He cares for God's people. Get this, there are probably those in this church that get on his nerves. There are probably those who have hurt him. More likely, there in this church particularly that he was going to, that he was writing to, the church in Thessalonica, there are probably those in that church that drug him out of a city and threw stones at him. And he says, I long to be with you. Paul wants to be with God's people. In Martel Christian Church, there may be people who get on your nerves. There may be things about people that you don't like. There may be someone who's hurt you in the past. I hope that no one has drug you out of Martel throwing rocks at you. But this is God's church that he came for, that he loved so much that Jesus was willing to die for. Jesus bought this church. I hope that you long to be with God's people. Despite the flaws, despite the mess ups, despite the hurts, I hope you long to be with God's people. When Carolyn and I were looking for a church, after I graduated from college, when we started the search for where we wanted to be, where we felt like God was leading us to be, my dad took me aside, and he told me a line that he's told me a ton of times. It's one that his dad told him, and I've told a couple of the guys here about this. But he came up to me and he told me, son, if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it because you'll mess it up. It's funny, but it's serious. If you find a perfect church, don't join it because you'll mess it up. There is no such thing as a perfect church. Because the church is people. And I'll be the first one to raise my hand saying that I'm messed up. And the church is full of people who have pasts, who have sins, full of people who are broken. But we come together because we need the same God to be in our lives. I think that's why Paul can say, I long to be with you. I long to be with you not because you're a perfect group of people. I long to be with you not because you've been supplying finances for missions trips. I long to be with you because you have a great building. Paul says, I long to be with you because you are the church and you are God's people who God cared for. So his prayer is that we can be together, that we can be unified under the name of Jesus Christ. And he prays for the times when we are together that we can build one another up. The second part of his prayer is that their love will increase, that their love will increase for the Lord and for others. He's saying, this is one of the things that has encouraged me about you, but this is one of the things that I continue to pray for because there's still room to grow in. I pray for love for the Lord and love for others. This is one of our main missions of a church. This is one of the main parts of who we are as a church, who we have said that we want to be as a church. We want to be a church that values what Jesus laid out as the greatest commandment, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and that secondly, we love our neighbors as ourselves. I hope that we do truly value and do continue to grow in that, the love for God and the love for others. Vertical and horizontal love that we cover one another in. That we are patient with one another, that we are kind with one another, that we don't envy one another, that we don't boast over one another, that we don't keep records of wrongs over one another, that we love God and love this world, love his church that he died for. The last thing that Paul prays for is strength for and in your heart. What Paul is going to talk about next in this letter, what he opens up chapter 4 with, is instruction about how we live. Instruction about how our actions set us apart from those around us. Proverbs tells us to guard our hearts, for it's the wellspring of life. It's the thing that everything else comes out of. It's a product of what goes into your heart. And what Paul's going to lay out next in the beginning of chapter 4 is Paul's going to talk about the way that we are set apart. And one of those main ways that he's going to mention, that he's going to hit on, is the way that we control our bodies, the way that we control our emotions and sexual immorality in our lives. He says, hey, part of loving God and loving others is the way that you're going to control yourself. And so that's a big part of where he lays in and says, hey, for you guys, I want you to be pure. I want you to respect the way that God has created a men and women and the way that he's given you this gift. Don't abuse it. Don't lust after it. He's going to lay it out really pretty plainly. If we are going to be people that display Christ, we need to have Christ be what's in our hearts. Paul prays that our hearts will be strengthened so that when Jesus comes again, we can be found blameless and holy. We need more of the strength of Jesus Christ in our hearts. We need more of the strength of Jesus that guards us. We need more of the strength of Jesus that guides us to live for him each and every day. as we pray through these things. As we pray for the ability to be together, to increase in love for God and for others, and as we pray for strength in our hearts to live lives that honor God, I want to leave with one last verse that ties this all together and I believe sums this up really well. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. It says this, and it's a prayer. It says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. Will you pray with me? God, we pray. We pray for your courage. We pray for your strength. We pray for your love. God, as we gather together as your church, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, we come and we gather together and we pray that you bind us together by your love. God, we know that the church is full of people, that there are going to be times when there is hurt. God, we know that there are times when there's going to be disagreements, where there's going to be divisions, God, we pray that in those times, we pray that we lean on your love. God, we pray that as we gather together, that you will guard our hearts, that you will strengthen our hearts, that, Lord, we filter what goes into our lives so that you are the one that comes out. God, we love you. Lord, we pray for you. Point towards you. God, we live for you. God, we love for you. God, direct us in your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.